Well, we've hippity-hoppitied off to a land that isn't really all that different, but we have a new voice in that land, and we're excited about that. Lily Bartels is book buyer for the Open Door Bookstore and Gift Gallery, and she is here to give us our winning list of books, our book pick list for the week. We do this every week. We sit down with independent booksellers to discuss some great reads that they want to share to roundtable listeners, and Amy Lane has been a part of our program for a long, long time. She has left to work at another store in the D.C. metro area. Mm-hmm. And so Lily is with us, and we're thrilled to welcome you to the program. Thank you very much.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, Joe.
Very nice to have you on the show. So where would you like to begin?
I would like to begin, I think, with one of my favorite books that I've read in quite some time. It's a debut novel from Hank Green called An Absolutely Remarkable Thing. A little caveat, it's not available yet. It will be out on September 25th, but I loved it so much that I simply had to talk about it today. So Hank Green is actually the brother of John Green, whom you may know as the phenomenally popular author of YA novels such as The Fault in Our Stars and Turtles All the Way Down. But he also has his own highly successful enterprises that focus on science. So he manages several YouTube channels that are science related, and he's quite a wunderkind in his own right. Now he has written a novel, and before you make the assumption that he may be riding on his brother's coattails, let me assure you that this book is like nothing you've ever read, and you will fly through the pages, and yet you will not want it to end. So, An Absolutely Remarkable Thing takes off when its young protagonist, who is a young woman named April May, who's 23 years old, graduate of art school, working as a graphic artist, is making her way home one evening in downtown Manhattan. It's quite late at night, and she encounters a very large robotic sculpture in the middle of the street. So she's puzzled but also excited. She calls her best friend Andy, who's a videographer. He comes. They make a kind of a silly little video about it. She spontaneously names this structure Carl, and they post it to YouTube. And by the next morning, April May is an international sensation. The video has gone viral. And to add to the mystery, other Carls have appeared in at least a dozen major cities around the world. So this is where the book takes off. It is somewhat of a sci-fi mystery. It's certainly a coming-of-age story. What struck me most about the book is how Hank Green, the author, fully inhabits the narrative voice of April May. I want her to be my best friend. I'm completely engrossed in her, in her life. But, you know, it's a joyride of a book. It's exhilarating. You must keep turning the pages. You must find out what happens. But there's also some serious themes underlying it, like the impact of social media on our lives, like what instantaneous fame can do to a person. And while there's a lot of humor in the book, there are also dark parts, like very dark parts. But I will say that the book ends, I didn't want it to end. I resisted it till the very end. And then the last page was such a gift because it opened a door to a hopeful outcome.
I just got my copy in the mail. I was very excited. And we're actually going to have Hank on the show on Thursday, the 20th of September, which I know is a long way off. But remember that I told you that he'll be on the show. So there you go. Hank Green is the author of An Absolutely Remarkable Thing, and the book comes out in a few weeks. So keep an eye out for it. Next up,
I have a sales rep from Penguin Publishers. And as you know, I'm sure you have the same experience of being bombarded with free books all the time, with glowing letters attached from the publishers. Well, I got a package in the mail from my Penguin sales rep with this book, which is called Whiskey When We're Dry by John Larrison, with just a simple sticky on it that says, read this. So I thought, I'm going to read it. And I put everything else aside, and I read this book, and I was blown away. So again, this is a debut novel that you cannot believe is a first effort. It is historical fiction. I've read reviews of this book that call it any number of things, epic, brutal, heartbreaking, and also gorgeous. And I would concur with all of those descriptors. It's really an evocative portrait of the Old West with all its grittiness, all its openness. And it's a story about a young woman whose name is Jessalyn growing up on a farm in 1885 and whose brother, older brother, leaves to go west. And her father subsequently dies. He's an alcoholic, leaving her at 17 alone on this farm that she cannot maintain. And now she's bereft of family. So she makes the decision to disguise herself as a man, a boy, and to take the perilous journey west to find her brother, who has now become an outlaw, according to all the posters that she sees. So what we see is, again, it's another coming of age story. With a protagonist whose narrative voice, again, created by a man, is absolutely captivating. You root for this young woman. She is strong. She is courageous. She is resourceful. You want her to be okay, but that's not an easy thing for her. She's also, I neglected to mention, an excellent sharpshooter. She was taught by her father, and that will come in very handy as she makes her way west. When she finally does find her brother, and she does, the story really pivots in another direction. And what happens is you see what she finds herself doing, the limits to which she will go to maintain family, to maintain loyalty, to maintain friendships. I will say that if someone had told me beforehand how much brutal violence was in this book, I might not have picked it up, and that would have been a great loss, because of all the books I've read recently, this is a story that stays with me on a daily basis. It's that cinematic in my mind. It's that visually captivating. So all the characters and their dialogue are just fully formed. They keep you glued to the page, and I think that this is going to be a big and important book this fall.
It is called Whiskey When We're Dry by John Larrison. All right.
Next up, we're going to pivot to some nonfiction. And this is called Seaweed Chronicles, A World at the Water's Edge by Susan Hand Shetterly. Shetterly lives in rural Maine, and she is a really beautiful writer, as you will see if you open this book. So what her topic is in this book is the burgeoning growth of the farming and harvesting of seaweed along the Maine coast. And unbeknownst to me, I mean, I was very ignorant about this. It really and truly is an industry that has very much taken off as other seafood industries have really been shuttered because of overfishing. I also did not realize how vital seaweed is to our global ecosystem, nor how many people rely on it for food, largely in Asian countries, but that's changing. And you know, I was not aware of how many everyday products that you and I use incorporate seaweed. So she gives us all of that information in a most entertaining way, but she also interweaves that with first-person accounts of the people who live and work in this industry along the Maine coast. It took me places that I was completely unaware of. And I also want to say, by way of comparison, this is the sort of book that, like The Hidden Life of Trees, it really does a deep dive into its subject matter in a way that you actually start feeling yourself becoming passionate about seaweed, because she makes it so interesting. She makes these people's lives come so alive, and also shows what they are doing to help preserve seaweed's place in the ecosystem and to preserve the resources that make it possible to grow and harvest it.
I'll also say it's a beautiful book. We had her on the show. I read the book, but it's a beautiful little object.
Yes,
in and of itself.
It's lovely. The cover and the size of it. And again, it's formatted very much like a book like the Hidden Life of Trees.
It is called Seaweed Chronicles, A World at the Water's Edge by Susan Hand Shetterly. All right.
So next, I actually brought this book for you to look at today because words cannot do it justice. It is, I think it's going to be one of the big gift books for the holiday season. It's called History as They Saw It, Iconic Moments from the Past in Color, and by Wolfgang Wilde and Jordan Lloyd. Now, what they have done in a kind of a revolutionary process is they have taken well over 100 iconic historic photographs, some that are immediately recognizable, some that are a little more intimate and personal. They have completely restored these photographs, and they have rendered them in color. Now, if you say the word colorized, you may get a lot of pushback from people who are personally offended by, for instance, old black and white movies that are colorized. And I'm sort of like that, too.
Don't mess with my Miracle on 34th Street. I do not want to see that in color.
Don't mess with my Shirley Temple.
Yes.
but
point taken.
Counterintuitively, the rendering of these photographs in color serves to, you know, the publisher says it's as close to time travel as we're likely to get, and he's 100% right, because the addition of color makes these photographs of people pop off the page in a way that sort of dissolves the artificial wall of the time between them and us. These are people that you would recognize walking down the street. It takes it out of the realm of the purely black and white, very flat, two-dimensional, and allows us to see them and their environment and these events as they would have seen them, which is, of course, in color. There's one such a poignant picture of, and you may know about this, but in the 1930s, and some of these pictures go back to 1839, it shows the first photographic self-portrait ever taken. But in the 1930s, a group of Civil War vets got together. They were, as you can imagine by that time, very, very old, for a reunion at Gettysburg. There were about 8,000 of them alive at the time. About 2,000 of them showed up, and 25 of those 2,000 had actually participated in the Battle of Gettysburg. But there's a very poignant photograph of an ex-Union soldier, an ex-Confederate soldier, playing cards together. And it's like you're just looking into the next room, seeing them. It makes it that immediate. And there's so many pictures like that. The construction of the Eiffel Tower, the construction of the Flatiron Building. There's an astonishing picture of the iceberg that destroyed the Titanic. And it looks like it could have been taken yesterday. So it really, as I said, it dissolves that artificial barrier of time. It makes these people look like people you might see on the street and speak to. It's really an extraordinary accomplishment. I can't recommend it highly enough.
History as They Saw It, Iconic Moments from the Past in Color by Wolfgang Wilde, which may be one of the best author names I've heard in quite a while. All right. We probably have time for about one more, Lily.
I think I'm going to talk about Meg, Joe, Beth, Amy, The Story of Little Women and Why It Still Matters by Anne Boyd Rieu. Next Thursday, September 30th, will be the 150th anniversary of the publication of Little Women, which, when it was originally released, became an instant bestseller in America, and then very shortly became an international classic. And so what Rieu does in this book is try to create, and very successfully does, I want to add, the literary history behind it, what inspired Louisa May Alcott to write this story. And we know that it was largely based on her own experiences with her three sisters growing up. So it's definitely a coming-of-age story of these four young women set against the background of the Civil War. And her question is, why does this endure as a classic of our American canon? Why, in effect, has it become such a foundational book in female literature? And there are themes of ties to community. There are themes of family resilience. There are themes of, for instance, in the instance of Joe, that sort of iconoclastic, strong-willed writer who needed to go her own way. So it's a story that still resonates It still captivates. And even if you have never read Little Women, just reading the story of how it came to occupy such a place in our consciousness is really very, very interesting.
For more information on the Open Door Bookstore and Gift Gallery in Schenectady, as well as Meg, Jo, Beth, Amy, The Story of Little Women and Why It Still Matters, you can visit them on J Street in Schenectady or online at opendoor-bookstore.com. Lily's List and all of our book picks are on our website at wamc.org/roundtable. Lily Bartels, it's great to meet you. We look forward to having you back on the program again. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
A great pleasure to have you here. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.